6:33 Hudson Valley Focus Live on the Beacon. Time for Robbie's This Day in History.
Thank you, Tom. Yeah, so we're going to do This Day in History a little differently today because, of course, tomorrow being the 4th of July, we're going to be talking about the 4th of July. So, we're going to be answering three questions regarding the American Revolution. But first, we're going to at least set the stage. So, on July 4th, 1776... in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, the Continental Congress adopts the Declaration of Independence, which proclaims the independence of the United States of America from Great Britain and its king. The declaration came 442 days after the first volleys of the American Revolution were fired at Lexington and Concord in Massachusetts, and marked the ideological expansion of the conflict that would eventually encourage France's intervention on the behalf of the Patriots. The first major American opposition to the British policy came in 1765 after Parliament passed the Stamp Act, a taxation measure to raise revenues for the standing British Army to America. Under the banner of no taxation without representation, colonists convened the Stamp Act Congress in October of 1765 to focalize their opposition to the tax. With its enactment in November, most colonists called for a boycott of British goods, and some organized attacks on the custom houses and homes of tax collectors. After months of protest in the colonies, Parliament voted to repeal the Stamp Act in March of 1766. So our first question here, why did the American colonies declare independence? Most colonists continued to quietly accept British rule under Parliament's enactment of the Tea Act in 1773, a bill designed to save the faltering East India Company by greatly lowering its tea tax and granting it a monopoly on the American tea trade. The low tax allowed the East India Company to undercut even tea smuggled into America by Dutch traders, and many colonists viewed the act as another example of taxation tyranny. In response, militant patriots in Massachusetts organized the Boston Tea Party, which saw British tea valued at some 18,000 pounds dumped into the Boston Harbor. The British Parliament, outraged by the Boston Tea Party and the other blatant acts of destruction of British property, enacted the Coercive Acts, also known as the Intolerable Acts, in 1774. The Coercive Acts closed Boston to merchant shipping, established a formal British military in Massachusetts, and made British officials immune to criminal prosecution in America, and required a colonists to quarter. The colonists subsequently called the First Continental Congress to consider a united American resistance to the British. With the other colonies watching intently, Massachusetts led the resistance to the British, forming a shadow revolutionary government and establishing militias to resist the increasing British military presence across the colony. In April 1775, Thomas Gage, the British governor of Massachusetts, ordered British troops to march to Concord, Massachusetts, where a Patriot arsenal was known to be located. On April 19, 1775, the British regulars encountered a group of American militiamen at Lexington, and the first shots of the American Revolution were fired. Initially, both the Americans and the British saw the conflict as a kind of civil war within the British Empire. To King George III, it was a colonial rebellion, and to the Americans, it was a struggle for their rights as British citizens. However, Parliament reimagined, unwilling to negotiate with the American rebels, and instead purchased German merchants to help the British army crush the rebellion. In response to the British continued opposition to reform, the Continental Congress began to pass measures abolishing British authority in the colonies. So, our next question. How did the American colonies declare independence? Well, in January of 1776, Thomas Paine published Common Sense, an influential political pamphlet that convincingly argued for American independence and sold more than 500,000 copies in a few months. In the spring of 76, support for independence swept the colonies. The Continental Congress called for states to form their own governments, and a five-man committee was assigned to draft a declaration. The Declaration of Independence was largely the work of Virginia man Thomas Jefferson. In justifying American independence, Jefferson drew generously from the political philosophy of John Locke. an advocate of natural rights, and from the work of other English theorists. The first section features the famous lines, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." The second part presents a long list of grievances that provided the rationality for the rebellion. And our last question, when did American colonies declare independence? Well, that happened July 2nd, 1776. The Continental Congress voted to approve a Virginia motion calling for the separation from Britain. The dramatic words for this resolution were added to the closing of the Declaration of Independence. 2 days later, on July 4th, the Declaration was formally adopted by 12 colonies after a minor revision. New York approved it on July 19th, being a little slow. That still happens in 2026. On August 2nd, the Declaration was signed. The Revolutionary War would last for 5 more years. Yet to come were the Patriot triumphs of Saratoga, the bitter winter of Valley Forge, the intervention of the French, and the final victory at Yorktown in 1781. In 1783, with the signing of the Treaty of Paris with Britain, the United States formally became a free and independent nation. So, ladies and gentlemen, on tomorrow's This Day in History, of course, July 4th, the Declaration of Independence is signed. But, of course, there's other things that happened on both today and tomorrow's This Day in History. July 3rd, 1775, saw George Washington ride out in front of the American troops for the first time, gathering at Cambridge Common in Massachusetts, and draws his sword, formally taking command of the Continental Congress. Washington was a prominent Virginia plantation operator and a veteran of the French and Indian War, who had been appointed commander-in-chief by the Continental Congress 2 weeks before, and agreeing to serve the American colonies in their way for independence. He declined to accept payment for his services beyond reimbursements of future expenses. So George Washington takes command of the Continental Congress in this day in history, 1775. Also in 1863, we talked about this a few days ago, but on the third day of the Battle of Gettysburg, Confederate General Robert E. Lee's last attempt at breaking the Union line ends in a disastrous failure, bringing the most decisive battle of the American Civil War to an end. Robert E. Lee, having failed on the right and left side of the planned assault on General Meade's center, a 15,000-man strong column under George Pickett, the general there, was organized, and Lee ordered a massive bombardment of Union positions. The 10,000 Federals answered the Confederate artillery onslaught, and for more than an hour, the guns raged in the heaviest bombardment in the Civil War. And so, on this day in history, the Gettysburg battle ends with 23,000 Union soldiers killed, wounded, or missing in action, while the Confederates also lost 25,000 casualties. So, such a bloody war on both sides. And then, a famous little fun fact in this day in history, tomorrow, July 4th, 1826, former presidents Thomas Jefferson and John Adams, who were once fellow patriots and then adversaries, die on the same day within 5 hours of each other. Thomas Jefferson and John Adams were the last surviving members of the original American revolutionaries who had stood up to the British Empire and forged a new political system in the former colonies. However, while they both believed in democracy and life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, their opinions on how to achieve these ideals were different. Adams preceded Jefferson as president. It was during this time that the ideas about policymaking became as distinct as their personalities. The hot-tempered Adams was a firm believer in a strong centralized government, while the genteel Jefferson believed a federal government should take a more hands-off approach and defer to its individual states' rights. As vice president to Adams, Jefferson was so horrified by what he considered to be Adams' abuse of the presidency and his particular passage of the Restrictive Alien and Sedition Acts of 1798, then he abandoned Adams and Washington for his estate at Monticello. There he plotted how to bring his Republic faction back into power into the presidential election of 1800. After a bitter campaign in which both parties engaged in slanderous attacks on each other, Jefferson emerged victorious. It appeared that the former friends would be eternal enemies. After serving two presidential terms, Jefferson and Adams each express to third parties their respect for the other and their desire to renew their friendship. Adams was the first to break the silence. He sent Jefferson a letter dated January 1st, 1812, in which he wished Jefferson many happy new years to come. Jefferson responded with a note in which he fondly recalled when they were fellow laborers in the same cause. The former revolutionaries went on to resume their friendship for 14 years as correspondents during their golden years. On July 4th, 1826, at the age of 90, John Adams lay on his deathbed while the country celebrated independence. His last words were, quote, "Thomas Jefferson still survives." He was mistaken because Jefferson died 5 hours earlier in Monticello at age 83. So on this day in history, John Adams and Thomas Jefferson pass away at the same time, pretty much. And then lastly, on this day in history for the 4th of July, there's many things that we did not even touch on that could be its own show. In 1863, the Confederates surrender at Vicksburg. In 1884, the French gives the Statue of Liberty to the United States. In 1940, terrorist bomb explodes at New York World's Fair. And then in 1997, something so out of this world, the Pathfinder lands on Mars. And so, with that being said, that is your history lesson for this day in history.
Thank you, Robbie.
You're welcome.
I'm going to add just one thing for July 3rd.
Sure.
July 3rd of 1886, when automobile engineer and inventor Carl Benz in Mannheim, Germany, drove the first automobile at a top speed of, you ready for this?
I'm ready.
10 miles per hour.
You better watch. Well, that must have been really fast back in the day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was one thing when we were there 3 years ago. We had the opportunity to go to the Mercedes-Benz Museum, and it's very interesting because it's a tall building, many stories high, and you start in the lobby, and you take a glass front elevator all the way to the top.
Really?
And it's, you know, go at the top of the building. It starts with the earliest days, and then it's one great big continuous spiral that you walk all the way down. All the way from, you know, its origin to modern day.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really cool. And also then, in 1884, now the stock markets are closed today for this, you know, the day before the 4th of July. But in 1884, on this day, Dow Jones publishes the first Dow Jones Transportation Average.
Oh, yeah. And then Jim Morrison passed away in this day in history in a Paris bathtub.
Oh, my goodness.
1971.
Let's hear the Zoll Sports Report. It's already 6:45 and then back on Hudsonville Focus Live on the Beacon.